And indeed, a very pleasant good morning. It is a Thursday edition of My Car Guru, and we are joined by the car guru, Mr. Lenny Lawson. Good morning to you, sir, on a nice sunny Thursday.
Good morning, Wilhelm.
Yes, sir.
I started to call you Tim, but that would have probably, I don't know, would that be a compliment or an insult?
Well, I've been called worse.
So, I mean, well, it is a beautiful day, and I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
We have quite the tradition. You know, what's going to happen when you retire? What am I going to do? Because I can't retire. I'm stuck.
Oh, well, I don't know about that now. I'm not retiring anytime soon.
So you're not?
No reason to worry just yet.
Okay.
I probably still have about 3 years left in me.
Well, good. Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Well, I get to go have a physical today.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I had blood drawn the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
So they wanted to check all my cholesterol and liver function and all that neat stuff. And today I get to visit with the doctor. I haven't had a physical in a little while. And then next month I get a colonoscopy. How's that for too much information?
Well, that's okay. I just had one here this past spring. So
yeah. You know, you just do that kind of stuff. Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to head something off. I know too many people that kind of put stuff off and they end up paying a price for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the same thing applies to your car. Today we are going to talk a little bit about 10 things that everybody needs to know about a car. If you've got a young person that's getting ready to become a driver, there's certain fundamental things that they need to know and understand about the car. They don't need to know how to overhaul an engine necessarily, but they do need to understand some very fundamental basics. And you know, this is true in just about everything that we do. Is you know, I was invited to the high schools a couple years ago to speak about the financial responsibility bill.
Mm-hmm.
And in this class of juniors at a high school, not a single one had ever written a check.
Mm.
Now, are checks gone? I mean, is writing checks is kind of old school, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you still write checks?
Well, believe it or not, I actually wrote one here not long ago. So, yeah, I still write them occasionally, but not very often anymore.
I mean, I can see a day where there will be no more check writing.
I can.
Yeah. I always get a little irritated when the little old lady in front of me at the grocery store pulls out her checkbook and starts writing. You know how much quicker it is to just stick the card in.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people that still do that. But, you know, even though you don't write checks, you need to still reconcile your bank account, right?
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that you should do, you know, just to make sure that nothing's being charged that shouldn't be mm-hmm. charged. That's just a fundamental personal financial responsibility that people have. You know, another thing is paying your bills on time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as understanding credit, understanding the, you know, the purpose of a credit card and what the penalties are involved if you mishandle a credit card, you know, a lot of them never hear that kind of stuff, Bill,
mm-hmm.
and from their parents or from the teachers. I talk to the teachers sometimes, and they say, well, they hear it. They get it sometimes. And I say, well, you know, these are fundamental living principles, I guess, that don't need to slide by. I see it in interviews, you know, when I'm interviewing people for a job, the way that certain candidates come in to the dealership, the way that they respond to even when I use Indeed.com, which is a job application website. A lot of people can't write, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, day and age, they can't spell. They don't know how to use grammar, proper grammar. Does that matter, Bill?
I would think so. Yes, it would.
You know, to be able to write a sentence or a paragraph to, you know, explain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like people are becoming a lot more expert at writing. They should be, because that's all they do with text messaging and emails and stuff like that. But it's quite atrocious, some of the things I see. And so, anyway, anything that we can do in the business world to help, to volunteer, to bring a dose of reality into the classroom. Of course, the classrooms are vacant now for the most part, but when things do return to normal, and they will, won't they, Bill?
I hope so, yes.
You know, I guess coordination between the Chamber of Commerce and educators, if there's any educators are probably too busy right now to be listening to this radio show, but just to be able to talk to people in banking, car dealers are a great source of information on in many different areas. But, you know, to be able to bring some perspective, some real-life perspective into the classroom, I think that's something that sometimes you won't get asked to do that, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You have to call the principal of the school and say, you know, would you ever like to have a guest speaker? You know, maybe come into your school and talk about personal financial responsibility and getting off to a great start in life. And I've done that several times, and I've been, some people have ignored me and said, well, you know, yeah, we'll give you a call, and I never hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then others have said, when can you come? I went to Chucky Doak High School. Well, it was really Chucky Doak Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were very receptive to it. We had just done a fundraising event out there, one of those Ford test drive fundraisers. And they said, when can you come? And I said, well, you tell me. Whenever you want me to come to a classroom, I'll come. So they called me and said, how about next Tuesday at such and such time? So I showed up. Bill, it looked like they had the whole school in there, in the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the stands on one whole side was full of kids. And I said, well, I better make this interesting. So they handed me a microphone, and I was prepared. And I got a really good response. I had kids coming up after me and saying, you know, thank you so much for talking to us. And this one little girl came up with her friend, and she said, can I give you a hug?
Mm.
And I said, of course. And I gave her a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you touch even one, Bill, if you can make a difference in one life, then it's worth the effort, you know?
Yeah.
I truly believe that. But anyway, we will take our first break, and we'll be back here in just a minute.
And we're back here on My Car Guru for this this Thursday. What do you got for us? I
want to remind folks about the big Bronco celebration going on this weekend. That it ends on Saturday. It'll
mm-hmm.
go through Saturday. But it's down in Townsend, Tennessee, and there are hundreds and hundreds of Broncos. And plus the all-new 2021 Bronco is down there already. They've already unloaded them out of the trucks, and they've done. You can go online and see some videos of the ones that they've unloaded. But if you want to see it in person, you can go down. And also, if you want to reserve one, you can reserve it through my dealership, Gateway Ford. You can go to gatewaydeal.com and go to the Ford site, and there's a place where you can click and reserve a Ford Bronco. If you don't reserve one, you're not going to get one until 2022. That's just the way it is. They've got 165,000 reservations already.
Wow.
And so they're building, they're going to, all of those probably will not turn into actual sales, but you can tell you're pretty far down the list right now if you want one. And who knows, it will be a long time, Bill, before we have any kind of selection on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We have reserved some for the dealership, just ourselves personally. I've reserved two for myself, and I'll be able to give up one of those. I'm not supposed to do that, but that's a lot of dealers are doing that, just to make sure that they have extra. Now, something else in the news, Nissan has just launched production of the 2021 Rogue at the Tennessee Assembly Plant. The Tennessee Assembly Plant for Nissan is in Smyrna,
mm-hmm.
Tennessee. And despite the setbacks that they've had, they've been able to get this vehicle, the all-new Rogue, has been launched. They build quite a few Nissans down there. They have a plant capacity of about 640,000 a year, Bill.
Yeah.
And we've got Tennessee citizens that are building them. Matter of fact, 7,000 people work at that plant
mm-hmm.
outside Asheville. And that's where they build the Nissan Altima, the Maxima, the Leaf, which is the electric vehicle, the Pathfinder, and they build an Infiniti QX60 there as well. So this past Tuesday was the ramp-up process for the new 2021 Nissan Rogue, which is all new. So that's good for Nissan dealers, good for Tennesseans and good for, you know, just the state, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to have assembly plants here. Now, Bill, I think when it comes to understanding responsibility of your vehicle, when you're a younger person or even an older person who's not that aware of vehicles, there's 10 things basically that I want to bring up that will make a difference and that you should know about. A lot of people think that because it is a fluid, that the oil level, you know, is something that, well, if you run out of oil, you just fill it back up with oil. It's kind of like gasoline, right, Bill?
Yeah,
it is. You and I both know that that's not the case. If you run out of oil, what happens, Bill?
The engine's going to seize up.
That's exactly right. You've got the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many people think that oil is there to help your car burn fuel, when in fact, its job is to lubricate the engine, to keep it cool, and to clean your engine, mm-hmm. the internal part of your engine. That's why there's an oil filter. You know, if there's not enough oil, then you're going to have the engine is going to degrade what is there. You have oxidation, and you develop soot and tar in the engine, and these things create friction, and you destroy your engine. Now, Bill, we replaced an engine in a diesel truck the other day. The block itself, just the engine block, was $8,000.
Oh, my.
That didn't include the labor of doing the job mm-hmm. and the other miscellaneous parts that required to be fixed. A lot of these engines can't be rebuilt. Some engines have to be completely replaced with either a brand new engine, with a brand new engine from Ford or Nissan. So just checking your oil, changing it every 5,000 miles, unless you're using synthetic oil, using a full synthetic, they say you can go like 10, sometimes, some cases 15,000 miles, but you still have to check your oil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your engine, you can have a leak where the oil is leaking out, or you could have your engine has an internal problem causing it to burn oil, which turns into blue smoke coming out the exhaust pipe. So, you know, this is just a fundamental thing. Teach your kid how to check, how to pull a dipstick, how to find a dipstick first, how to pull it, wipe it off, you know, to do it on level ground, not on the side of a hill,
mm-hmm.
To make sure that the vehicle is level, to pull it all the way out, wipe it off, stick it back in, to do it when the engine is cool, not hot. You don't check your oil just right after you've been driving it because it takes a while for all the oil to settle back down into the oil pan where the dipstick goes to.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a basic, probably the most important single thing to preserve the longevity of your engine. I don't know. You don't see many people with flat tires anymore. It happened to me the other day. I came out of the house, and on my F-150, the tire was flat.
Mm.
And I had a screw in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did I do? I called one of my guys from the dealership, and they came and fixed it. You know, I have that ability to do that. Now, if I was out in the country and I had to change it myself, could I do that? Do I know where the instructions are? You know, is my owner's manual in the glove box to begin with? You know, it's important. If you buy a car, an older car, make sure that you, if you don't have an owner's manual, order one. You know, make sure you have a book in there so that if anything happens, you know, you should be familiarize yourself with your car by reading the owner's manual, most of it, so that you understand how it operates. But there are instructions as to how to change a flat tire. And I remember I told this story several months ago, Bill, that I had a flat tire in downtown Greenville. I was driving a Mazda MPV, and I couldn't find a spare tire. I couldn't find it anywhere. It was so well hidden. So I went into the glove box, pulled out the owner's manual, and said, aha, that's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to get it down and change the tire myself. You should know how to do that if you have a car. If you're a young person and this is your first vehicle, make sure your kid knows how to do that. Wiper blades, too, are important. You should change those a couple times a year. If a wiper blade, Bill, deteriorates, it can destroy your windshield. If the metal, you know, parts of the wiper arm are touching the glass, you'll see these arcing scratches on the windshield. And I've seen that so many times. And Like if I trade for a car and it's got those on it, then more than likely I'm going to have to replace the windshield or I'm not going to be able to sell it. So that's something that you should make sure that you do. There are a lot of other fluids in the vehicle. You need to at least know how to check them. Coolant is one of them, making sure that you have adequate coolant. Power steering fluid, brake fluid, windshield washer fluid. These are all things that your youngster or oldster should know how to do. And then finally, the tire pressure. Bill, it's the number one cause of blowouts and the number one cause of tires wearing out prematurely is people not checking their tire pressure. You will lose 2 pounds a month of your tire pressure. I was driving a, a Ford Mustang. And it has a tire pressure monitor on it. I said, boy, these things seem to be riding rough. I drove it from the dealership to my house. Brand new Mustang, pulled it off the line. And I just sensed that when I went over a bump, it just seemed a little rough. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the on-screen menu, which is there, and it, since it has tire pressure monitors, I was able to see the pressures. It had 45 pounds in each tire. It's supposed to have 32 pounds.
Mm.
So what that would cause, if a tire is overinflated like that, it causes the center of the tire to wear quicker than the outside edges.
Mm-hmm.
If the tire is underinflated, the outside edges are going to wear. Now, if you have one side or the other, one edge or the other of the tire wearing, then it's probably an alignment issue. You know, if the tire is cupping out, if you're getting a, if you run your hand along the tread and you feel a cupping, then that's probably a different type of alignment or a balance issue. But tire pressure is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
I went to, what was it? O'Reilly's, I think, auto parts, and bought one of those digital tire pressure gauges.
Mm-hmm.
And I just keep it in the glove box. And, you know, it's not like one of those old-fashioned ones, Bill, you know, that looks like a pen.
Yeah.
And, you know, you push it down and the little gauge pops out. Those, you know, those have been around for years. Now they have these little digital ones, a lot easier to read. And you just unscrew the cap, touch it on the top of it, and it'll give you a pressure reading. And on the door jamb of most vehicles, it'll tell you what the tire pressure is supposed to be on those tires. You do not go by what it says on the tire wall. You know, the tire wall, you know, on the side of your tire, it may say 35 pounds, but your car wants the tire pressure to be 32 pounds because that's what it says on the door, then that's what you do.
Okay.
You know, another thing is checking your headlights and your taillights. These are important and so that you don't get a ticket. And also, they also dim over time, and you need to pay attention to that. Like I say, people like to know if you're getting ready to make a turn. If your turn signal, you notice that your turn signal is flashing quickly, more quickly than normal, then that's an indication that your bulb is out. It's a built-in system to tell you that if it doesn't have a complete circuit, the light's not going on and off, and it flashes quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take our last break, and we'll be back here in just a minute.
And we're back here to wrap up this Thursday edition of My Car Guru. You were talking to me off the air about shock absorbers.
Yeah, how do you tell if your shocks are worn out, Bill?
Well, if you go over a bump, your car keeps going up and down. That tells me they need new shocks.
Yeah, one of the things you can do is just if the vehicle's sitting in the driveway, just put your weight on it and push the front and the back down. If the vehicle doesn't settle after like one bounce, then your shocks are getting worn.
Oh.
If it just keeps up and down and slowly stops bouncing, then it's definitely past time to replace your shocks. I recommend shocks at 50,000 miles. You know, some of them are designed to last longer than that, but shocks are so important. They can actually affect it or really cause you to lose control of your vehicle if your shock absorbers are worn out. And you know, that bouncing can really affect the handling of the vehicle. It can also affect the braking and the effectiveness of the brakes because of the way the vehicle, the weight is distributed in a hard stop. So 50,000 mile, you know, you're buying a 60,000, 70,000 mile car for your teenager to drive, or somebody that's going to college. you put a set of tires on it, most people just don't even think about shocks. But if you look at it, they look like the original shocks that came on it. You need to replace those because that will really improve the handling of the vehicle. Of course, I always recommend that you get under the front end of the car, make sure that all of the ball joints and all of the connections that cause the car to steer and handle go in a straight line, that all of those are well lubricated, that the bushings have not deteriorated. And it takes a mechanic to be able to figure that out, or a person who has a lot of mechanical experience. So these are just some of the things. There's a few others, like the emergency roadside kit. There's a lot of recommendations online for what you should have in your vehicle, just in case you do have a breakdown. But those are some pretty important things, Bill, that parents and individuals need to think about when they buy an older car, or as far as taking care of their existing car.
All right. There you go. Well, on that note, we wrap it up for a Thursday. As always, we wish you a very nice and safe day, and I'll be talking to you tomorrow to wrap up the week.